Good morning. It's time for our K-State and Extension Report, and today we're joined by Frontier District Crop Production and Farm Management Agent Ryan Schaub. How are you?
Very good. How are you today?
I am great.
Very good. So today I would like to talk a little bit about some soybeans. Now, the mindset on soybeans have changed the last, 10, 15 years, but I still get questions about, is there any value to putting on starter fertilizer on these beans? Traditionally, producers have not fertilized beans, instead putting the fertilizer on before corn and relying on the soybeans to kind of use the leftovers. But beans can use significant amounts of nutrients per bushel of grain harvested. And because of this, we are starting to see a response to some fertilizers, especially in those soils that would be deficit or low soil testing levels. Typically, corn shows a greater response to our starter fertilizer than beans do. Now, we have to think back about how or when these crops are planted. Corn's going to be planted traditionally first, and then beans. That means our soil temperatures are going to be warmer when those beans are planted compared to that of corn. Now, that mindset has changed just a little bit for some producers. We're starting to see a push to plant some beans before our corn crop, and just getting them in the ground and letting them pop up as quickly as they can so they can canopy and cut down on some weeds. In the traditional sense, though, that corn being planted a little bit earlier, those cooler soil temps, they just don't have the get up and go. So we have to put on that starter fertilizer for them to really take off until those warmer temps come and they can really take off. But with that being the case, or not being the case with our beans, and the soil temps are already warmer, we don't see that response immediately. However, we can see that response at the end of the year when we go in and harvest those crops. The most consistent response for those starter fertilizer on the beans is going to be putting on some phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, zinc, or boron. And doing a soil test for those nutrients would allow you to know which ones and at what levels you need to put on. The other situation in which we might want to put on a starter fertilizer would be in high yielding environments. So not just those soils that are now deficit, but maybe those high yielding environments that maybe even have medium or average soil testing levels, we can still see a response. The reason being, we could use a lot of nutrients up in a really good production year. And so we could see those levels eventually tank if we didn't put on these starter fertilizers and feed these crops a little bit at the beginning. The most consistent response to a starter fertilizer with our beans would be with soils that are deficit in one of the nutrients, phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, zinc, and boron would be the ones that we'd really want to be looking at. Outside of the deficit soils, the high yielding environments are the other area that we might consider putting on a starter fertilizer. That has to do with other crops maybe utilizing some more of those nutrients than we had anticipated. Maybe we had a really good corn crop in that field last year and we utilized more of those nutrients. So putting on a little bit just gets those beans to kind of jumpstart, and they're not looking and searching for those nutrients. Of course, I said the most consistent response was in those two situations. Of course, if a soil is deficit, putting on those fertilizers is going to help that. Those high yielding environments are our best soils typically. So of course we see the response in those two areas over some of our other areas of the field. Now, how do we go about putting them on? What is the best method? Probably the most efficient method would be banding. So we put in that fertilizer at like next to the seed or below the seed. That allows those roots, as they're growing down, to utilize that or out. The other method would be broadcasting, and that's probably going to be used more in our narrow row spacings fields, because maybe that our equipment can't band or put those in right next to that seed. So we're going to broadcast that fertilizer on those fields. Just know broadcasting works fine, except for it does have a little bit of limited mobility for that phosphorus and potassium to get through that soil profile initially. With that, all this talk about starter fertilizers, one thing I will mention, very seldomly do we see a response to nitrogen in our starter fertilizer mixes. There is some research that, like under irrigation and in some super sandy soils where they have seen a nitrogen response to beans or on beans, we don't have a whole lot of irrigation and we don't have a whole lot of sandy soils. Most of our soils are pretty clay, so I'm not sure how that would work for us here. With that being said, I do want to go back and talk just a touch about those narrow row spacings versus the conventional row spacings. So K-State did a study in 2015 through 2017 looking at 30-inch or conventional rows compared to 15 or narrow row spacings. And in the narrow row spacings, we actually seen a slightly higher yield bump than our, those conventional row spacings of 30-inch in lower yielding environments. So think kind of farming that upland, so that hillside, we might want to try to go down to narrow row spacings. But in those higher yielding environments that I was talking about earlier, there was virtually no difference between narrow row spacings and our conventional 30-inch rows. So I found that kind of interesting. Of course, there's pros and cons to each one of those. But if you have questions, you can give me a call. The office number is 785-448-6826.
Thank you very much, Ryan. Yes. Coming up Monday morning at 6:40, Frontier Extension District Adult Development, Aging, and Family Resource Management Agent Janae McNally will be with us.